What's up, y'all? Respect the Chat podcast is coming back at you live. In fact, not live, but I like to say that. Ryan is here with me.
Yo.
What's up, dude? How's everything going on your end?
Living life, bro. We're back. All right, quick disclaimer out there. So,
yes.
Not that we're not pumped to be back. We're absolutely pumped to be back. And for you guys, this is our first episode back in a long time. But for me and Mike, we sat down and said, we got to get this podcast back. We got to get this podcast going. So we sat down for about, Mike, maybe 2 hours last week, just about.
Oh, it was awesome.
And we chatted and we had a great, great conversation back and forth. We were hype. He goes, all right, wake me in the morning. So he had to get to bed. Let me know when the podcast's ready. I'll listen on my way to work. I'm psyched. So I set the download and I go in. And I listen back, and it's Mike talking to himself the whole time. I didn't test my own mic before we started. It was a rookie mistake. You know, I've been rusty, but now we're back, Mike. We're back.
It's okay, man. I was so excited when Ryan hit me up and said we want to come back, and I really didn't want to get back for, you know, NFL season. It's the biggest part of our podcast. It always was. Mm-hmm. Frank and Rich, we're going to get them on at some point, you know. They do. We all have like really busy lives since we last recorded, which has been a long time ago. Our families have grown. Our lives have changed. But we are really passionate about sports. We wanted podcasts. I had a lot of people, you know, hit me up or see me, Respect the Chat, always hitting me up, you know. So I'm so grateful for that, that people listen, that people want to, you know our opinions on things. And please follow Respect the Chat. So Ryan, we'll take care of that, posting that. Yep. Getting that out to you guys. We're going to be talking football. Big new thing we're going to be talking about in the podcast this year, too, is golf, too. We're really into golf since the last time we recorded. All of us play. It's a big part of our lives. We know a lot of people out there, guys and girls, play out there and want to know, you know, some, like, general knowledge about it because, you know, we watch it. We pretty much watch every weekend, I would say. Mm-hmm. The majors, definitely, with the Ryder Cup. Approaching us this weekend. This weekend's huge. Crazy. So, you know, maybe we'll talk about the results of that or just really, you know, who we think is going to really shine in this Ryder Cup from both sides. But we're definitely going to pick the games. We're going to talk fantasy and the Respect the Chat City Boys is a new segment that we're going to introduce with our fantasy football league. We're going to get some of the fellas on that are in the league. It's a great league. I would say it's probably my favorite league that I'm in. And I know probably, you know, I'm in my boy Josh's league and a family league. And I love those leagues. I really do. And they're great. But the City Boys, it's just got like a little twist to it that I won it last year. So that
helps.
That makes me even more excited. The cup is here. But also, it's just a fun league. There's trading going on. I like trades in fantasy leagues. Everyone's super involved in setting their lineup and, you know, knowledgeable watching games. So shout out to the City Boys. Yep. I've been taking my penalty drinks quite often. So I'm looking to stop that, years, you know. Yeah, but I changed the name. Last year I changed the name and I went on a run. That's so true. We'll see how it goes. Ryan has the agenda. He's going to help me out with that. And enjoy the show. Here we go.
Yeah, so we'll hop into it. Like Mike mentioned, we're going to get the City Boys as a segment I'm real hype about. Obviously, I'd also go out and say it's my favorite league that I'm in. I run this league. I'm the commish. It's all people that are near and dear to me, so that, you know, it's a little biased for me. But City Boys got a special place, and now you're on the podcast. So we'll be getting our first guest in, too. So once we get to the fantasy segment, we'll see. You know, we'll transition the City Boys segment. You'll know when that's happening. But to begin, me and Mike, we're moving into week four, but real quick, let's recap week three. What'd you see going across the league? Crazy week. I mean, insane.
Yeah.
I'll go on record saying it's the craziest weekend of football that I've seen maybe ever.
Is that crazy? No, I don't think that's crazy to say. I think there was a ton of outcomes in games. I took a screenshot on my phone of it or something. The amount of blocked field goals that won games or led to game-winning field goals or touchdowns in the Eagles and Rams situation was insane. Just, like, literally crazy. Thank God for Red Zone, man, because it's the only way to watch football to me. And it's the only way to keep up with fantasy and see every game and know what everybody's doing. Mm-hmm. But yeah, dude, wildly awesome and amazing weekend. The only downfall of the weekend is in my Dallas Cowboys, which we'll get into, are, I mean, I would say done, but I want to hear what your opinion is. But that was the hardest hit of seeing the Chicago Bears just like, you know, dismantle us. And we made Russell Wilson. Mm-hmm. And we make who then lost his job, yep. By the way, right? He was like the Cowboys, killing the Cowboys, and then he loses his job 1 week later. We made him look great. And Caleb Williams, who nobody had confidence in, has confidence in all of a sudden. So I'm distraught and I'm sad. Your Pittsburgh Steelers look good. How do you feel about week two overall? And then how do you feel about the Steelers and we, you know, moving forward?
It's tough, you know, because it's hard to complain when you win, right? You got a 2-1 record. The defense came back in a big way this week. I was really appreciative of that. I mean, we've fallen apart the first 2 weeks. Letting teams score 30-plus on us is just – it's unlike the Steelers. It's unfamiliar. But when we have 4 turnovers, we can't only win by a touchdown. You know, it was a 4-1 turnover ratio. I think Aaron Rodgers threw a pick there. But when you have, or maybe even 5, we might have even got 5 turnovers. So 5-1 ratio, something like that. But you gotta come out and score more than 21 when you get that many opportunities. But we got the job done when we needed to. I'm very interested to see what this team looks like next week, this upcoming week in Ireland, because that Vikings team just put on a show. That defense just went out and scored 2-3 touchdowns themselves. Multiple turnovers, looked unstoppable. Brian Flores' scheme was they've been talking about it all week. Oh, he brings pressure, he disguises pressure. And it's true. I mean, the scheme is incredible on top of having very, very talented players on that side. But in terms of the Steelers, I was just telling my girlfriend, I was telling her, this game is going to go only 2 ways. I mean, we're going to win by a last-second field goal because it's going to be disgusting back-and-forth defensive battle, or we're going to get blown out. That is the only two ways I see this game going. I'd love to be proven wrong, but if we're going to get a win, it's going to be a close one. It's going to have to be tough fought. And to speak on your Cowboys, man, it is... I mean, they're starting to say, oh, Ben Johnson, you know, is he coach of the year now? Did he just needed a couple games to get it? The Cowboys made Russell Wilson look like Russell Wilson from old, and then he lost his job the very next week. So let's not put too much love on the Bears just yet, but. Yeah. I'm sad for you, man, especially now that you guys play Green Bay this week. You know the narratives. It's already starting with Micah and how many times they're going to cut to Jerry Jones in his booth during this game. There's going to have to be a count. It's going to be a Jerry Cam count.
And I think it's Sunday night football. So even better, you know, everyone's watching. Great. Everyone's amazing.
Watching. Whole world's watching. Whole America's watching. But week 3, I think the biggest takeaway for me is defense. I mean, look what all these defenses were doing. The Jets defense got them back in the game. A lot of stops, and then the blocked field goal return touchdown. They obviously went on to Baker did his thing, got them game-winning drive.
Field goal range.
Yep. You've got the Eagles who made that huge comeback, and then their defense, special teams, you know, put the cap
Cleveland.
On Cleveland. There you go. Cleveland beat a team that in the Green Bay Packers that we were talking about the Super Bowl already, you know? Minnesota pretty much won the game with their defense single-handedly. They would have won that game if they didn't score any offensive touchdowns, which is insane. So, and for fantasy too, like not just for traditional football, for fantasy, if you had one of these defenses that put up big points, there were 6 of them at least that put up over 15 points, and you needed one of them in order to win your matchup this week, it seemed like.
I had Philly in the lead.
In like picking up a defense once you see
this. Yeah, I hate defense in fantasy. Yeah, I hate it. So this is coming from somebody who's like so against it, but this weekend won it in one of my leagues for me with Philly getting killed in the first half, and it's like they're, you know, the points are dwindling. You start with 10 and then it goes down, and then they block the field goal at the end. They pick it up and they run it in. So I get all of that. So now I'm like, you know, going from I hate defenses, this is why I hate defenses, so you know what, defenses ain't that bad, you know, in certain situations. I would honestly like to play like a player or two and get tackles or like, interceptions.
I've played in a league before where it's the IDPs, individual defensive players. You get like three or four of them, and I don't know. I like it, but it gets a little tricky with the waiver wire, with, you know, the draft. How much value do you put in these guys? What's the kind of stuff, you know? So I think we're going to stick with the defenses. Sorry, Mike, in the city.
Yeah, definitely. Most leagues are going to, you know, and I understand that, and there's a lot to that. But, man, the defense has showed up. The Cowboys' defense did not show up. So I actually went – I paid, listen to this, $15 for the Chargers D in the City Boys League.
There we go.
Yeah, I really wanted them. I think they're very good, at least even moving forward, and I could play them in Philly week to week. Right now, because I don't need another roster spot for anybody else, but I'm going to go. I especially wanted them this week because I really need a full Arsenal show in the City Boys League to get my first win, and then playing against Jackson Dart, who we'll get to in a little bit when we pick these games. What else we got on the agenda?
Yeah, I think we pretty much covered week three. It was an intense week, crazy week. Oh, let's talk about that Monday night matchup real quick. We'll recap that. I mean, what the Packers did to the Lions week one had everyone sort of terrified for the Lions. Oh, they lost Ben Johnson. They lost Aaron Glenn. They're not going to be the same. They bounced back with a huge win week two against the Bears. Oh, okay. You know, Ben Johnson revenge game spoiled. Now they come out on the road in prime time, and they should have won by two touchdowns there. There was that garbage touchdown late for Mark Andrews, but 38-30, I think that final score was. What's up with the Ravens, man? What's up with Rich's Ravens?
Yeah, man. Shout out to Rich and the Ravens. Lamar Jackson and Derrick Henry are awesome. Derrick Henry, two down weeks in fantasy especially. Kind of almost hurt me a little bit. That game was great for me fantasy-wise because Lamar and that late touchdown to Mark Andrews and Montgomery's game put me over the top in Rich in the family league, and I got the win on him. Excuse me. And but that game told me a lot. Remember we talked about this in the Phantom episode week two that supposedly exists. We discussed that if we picked the Ravens to win, but if the Lions win, it was going to be a statement game, was our words for the Lions. If you can go into Baltimore and you could beat the Ravens, who I picked as the best team, I thought, in the AFC after week two, and we could pick that too coming up, who we think. If they went in there and beat them, man, are they for real or what? And is Dan Campbell a for real coach or what? Because, yeah, he did lose two top coordinators who went to two different places who are having a rocky start, but whose teams look like they have heart and they want to play for them. Dan Campbell, man, what a G, man. I mean, this guy is just sticks it out, picks the right coordinators to replace the guys who left. Kelvin Shepard is an awesome defensive coordinator. The gentleman who's calling the offense, I can't remember his name right now, but, man, that one play they ran, dude, where Goff tossed it to St. Brown, and St. Brown option pitched it to Montgomery, I think, or maybe it was Gibbs, and he scored. I was like, man, they should have saved that for the Super Bowl. They said they had that play like a year in its work, like it was in works forever, you know, so respect to the Lions, man. The Ravens, they're very good. They're just one of those teams where I think football is funny, right? Do you want to be a Cowboys fan who, you know, more than likely as of right now, you're going to lose every week and have heartbreak? Or do you want to be a Ravens fan and maybe you're going to win, but maybe in the last second you're going to lose and you're going to look good doing it all game, but you there's a chance, 50-50 chance you lose. Like, I don't think it's the Ravens win, you know, like, I love the Ravens, but when they play, I don't know whether they're going to win or lose until the final score, because anything could happen. And I just think that they got dismantled. I know they got some injuries on defense. You know, Van Noyen is out, and the lineman was out. The defensive tackle was out or so. Two big players out. Jair Alexander was out, but still, they ran all over them, the Lions. So I learned a lot about the Lions, man. And Dan Campbell is as for real as I thought he was.
Yeah, they did exactly what you need to do to beat the Ravens. They kept Lamar Jackson in that offense on the sideline as much as possible. They controlled the football. They ran the ball. I mean, they played bully ball on the road. I mean, 250 yards total rushing, just their running backs. The Lions, they're making a comeback in a big way. I know. I mean, it's hard to say that, sit here and say that. It's only going into week four, a comeback. But you know how after week one, there's always the overreactions. And that was one of my biggest ones. I was seeing people overreact to, oh, the Lions are done after week one, after, you know, the game with Green Bay. And I was like, okay, I think Green Bay, you know, they came out, made a statement after they made the move for Micah, and they were always going to be a good team. That was always going to be a good matchup. And Lions just needed a week or two to put it back together. So that was week three. Excitement. So we're looking forward to an exciting week four. Who do you play this week in fantasy, Mike, in the City Boys League? Who do you play?
Would you be able to look for me?
Let me pull it up.
While you do that, I wanted to add also, who do we think is, after week three, going into week four, best team in the AFC, best team in the NFC? I can go quickly. I think Buffalo is the best team in the AFC, honestly. Okay. And I should have picked them last week, and I didn't. I went with the Ravens. So I'm going to go Buffalo, and I'm going to say they're the best team in the AFC and in the NFC. Man, dude, it hurts for me to say it, but I feel like it's the Eagles. You know, they are not great looking when they're out there, and I don't know how they win. I don't know how they're not 0-3, but they're 3-0, and they play with heart, and they don't give up, and Jalen Hurts is awesome. So I'm going to give it to the Eagles going into week four.
All right, and I'll just do mine real quick. I think top of the AFC for me, Mike, I said this in the Phantom episode as well. Give me the Chargers. I mean, the Chargers look good. That defense looks complimentary. The offense is moving. They're letting Herbert cook. I love it. So give me the Chargers. And then on the NFC side, it might be a little recency, but give me the Lions. I think the Eagles.
Okay.
I think the Eagles are right there. I want to see a little bit more from their offense. I know that they put up a bit more of a convincing game with this comeback, letting me know that they could do it both on the ground and through the air. But the Lions just—they look too good for me right now, and I'm throwing away week one. So that'll be my two. But
okay,
here we go. Our inaugural segment of the City Boys. We welcome our very first guest, Nikki the Demon. Clap it up, Nikki the Demon. Also known as the Neighborhood. He's a man of many names, but that's his fantasy name. Nikki, how are we doing?
Feeling good. We've had a fortunate start to the season, so we're doing well.
This man, you're looking at the number one team in the City Boys League. I mean, we got a big – we'll see after this week, but we got a big matchup. Me and Nikki face off this week. It's Nikki Hate Week. So we're
Nick, that video he put in the chat wasn't nice, man.
No,
I can't take credit for that. I can't take credit for that.
He can't. But you know what? You wouldn't know it. I had 17 that game. I actually did. Beautiful. I actually know that exact. It's the only game that we had a guy recording on the sideline for, and that guy, my man, he's ready to put up all the low lights that I have, but didn't post any of my makes. Post a single make. It's like, all right, okay.
So for those who have no idea what we're talking about, in our group chat, in our fantasy group chat, I sent a nice little message, Nikki Hate Week, and featuring a compilation of, for those who don't know Nikki, he's a big hooper, big time hooper. It's a nice low light compilation of of all his bricks from one men's league game that we played like 4 years ago. It's Dang. Great. That always has to come back around when it's Nikki Hate Week. So
it's a good clip. Objectively, it's a good clip.
Objectively, yeah.
That's locker room. That's locker room material though for Nikki. You know, that's gonna go up in the locker. The team's gonna see that. They're gonna know what the other team is already talking. So we're gonna see how this goes.
Yeah. I love it.
So, Nikki, we'll get right into it since we have you as a guest. You made a big move this week. Or was it last week?
Yeah. Just a couple of days ago. Yeah, okay. Just a couple of days ago. It was Henderson and Michael Pittman Jr. I traded those guys away for Chuba Hubbard and Travis Hunter.
Okay.
The guy that we were going after for there was Chuba, for sure. We were looking to get some reliability in our running back spots. So
all right.
That was the deal with that trade. Unfortunately, needed to see Michael Pittman go. You know, in my talks with Reek, the franchise Reek, they were looking for some receivers. I needed some depth at running back, or at least some reliability, and we made a deal happen. It was definitely beneficial for the both of us. I think he might end up on the better side of that trade, but I think it was mutually beneficial for sure.
I like it.
Yeah, I agree. I agree, definitely.
Go ahead, Mike. I want to get your thoughts on that because you made a move too this week.
Yeah, I did. I did make a move. And that's what I wanted to ask Nikki too. What his thoughts, because we talked about it like off camera before we started recording. What's your thoughts going into like a trade in fantasy? Are you like, for me, I'm looking to push the limit on the trade. I have an idea of what I want, you know, what positions I want. And I'm okay with giving up certain guys. But I got to like test the limits of the guys that I'm not really looking to give up to try to win the trade, you know, cause I think there's gotta be a slight winner and loser in these fantasy trades, but like, I'm going to give a little bit, but I'm not going to bend and break. And I know I still got to get something back.
Yeah, no, for sure. There's definitely times that there's winners and losers. I think there's often times that there's winners on both ends, but at the very least, there's always going to be some level of one person, one more. Yeah. So whenever I'm looking at those, at this last trade, a name that came up, and it's actually came up a couple times now, across the league as a target for trade acquisitions amongst other teams, is Emeka Egbuka. And I'm holding him close right now, man. I can't see him go. Okay. I need to see how this whole, like, Mike Evans injury, what kind of volume he's going to see post injury, if he's going to see even bigger numbers than he's already had this season, which is, he's done really well. But that was one of the guys that was talked about in the trade talks. And I couldn't live with seeing him go. That's how Michael Pittman actually got into that conversation. But yeah, I'm definitely looking whenever we're in trade talks about how do I provide value for the other team, not just mine, because that's how you're going to get the trade done. And making sure that you're getting value out of it too. Looking for value over replacement, because, you know, at the end of the day, you're only going to get as much better through the trade as you are the person's stats coming in over the person's stats going out.
Yeah.
And then there's just some level of, like, you got to know the guys that you absolutely can't trade for under any circumstances, because, you know, why would you trade a top three guy at their position, especially in our league, 12-man league? I'd say top five. You don't ever trade a guy that's top five in his position, no matter what. If you're doing that, something went awry with the season. You're looking to fill a lot of holes.
Yeah, to me, it's like, so to talk on your point about Ibuka, because I'm assuming you got some people looking, you know, to make moves for Ibuka. I'm in a similar situation where I've got Hampton. Now, with Najee going down, I've gotten a couple calls about, you know, you got Bijan, you got Bucky. How you feel about Hampton? But it's the same thing. I gotta feel it out. He had a, you know, he's a rookie, just like Ibuka, and Ibuka got a much better start to the season. But Hampton, I think, needed a few games to get a feel for that offense, get a feel how he fits into it. And if they're gonna let Herbert throw the ball as much as he does, and now Hampton's really the only option they got, he's gonna be the check down.
Yeah.
He's gonna be, you know, a full workhorse now. I just like to see what that volume looks like. But in the same time, it's you know, if it doesn't look as good, maybe this is the highest his value will get, you know? So it's a hard thing to go back and forth with. So at least for you, for Ibuka, even with Mike Evans, he had value. So
yeah,
for me, I'm still waiting out. See, he's not a complete, untouchable guy in trade talks, but I do hear what you say. You got to set your limit. These are the guys that I'm not trading on no matter what. You're my guys, if you will. But you can't set everyone can't be a my guy. You're going to have to give up someone you don't want to see go if you really want to make that trade happen, right?
Absolutely.
Right. Yeah, no, for sure. And while I don't think Ibuka will end up being a permanent, like, do not trade guy, but I think for the next week or two at least, I got to see that through. That's a guy that you got to see through. Like you said, having a good start to the season is big. And then Mike Evans goes down, what kind of volume's in store for him? We got to see. And trading that away without getting, you know, a marquee kind of guy, I think might be a little bit preemptive. But I mean, I think Omari and Hampton, that's a different situation. Like you're saying, Justin Herbert's throwing the ball a lot more than he has in previous seasons. Mm-hmm. It could also go the other way for you, where, you know, that traditionally run heavy offense is run heavy again. So, you know, one way or another, you see where things go, and you just got to play things by ear and case by case with everybody.
Mm-hmm. And I was one of those people who was intrigued of Hampton, because I need to do something in the running back spot. And my thought going into it was, you know, you see Najee go down, you know, this is a run heavy team, but they're passing a lot this year. I think what was such a good thing for you, Ryan, in this was that not only did Hampton come in, but then he started killing it and he looked good. Yeah. And who is the next guy? We don't know. So we knew it was a split, and now we know Hampton's going to take most of it. How's it going to look? We don't know yet, but at least for your advantage in fantasy, he killed it. And now that gives you the advantage when someone hits you up like, yo, you know, you're looking to move Hampton, his value just went up. At least for this week also, you know, like you said. So I think you got 1 or 2 weeks where you can hang on to him at a really high value. Yeah. And if you want to move him, then you can. To me, the only thing that hurts Ibuka is if Chris Godwin comes back, Mike Evans gets healthy, and now you got the three-headed monster over there. That's the only thing I think that could slightly hurt that guy, because I just think that guy's a superstar and he's unbelievably good. And Chris Godwin may take a couple of his touches away when he gets back. Mike Evans, if he gets healthy. But to me, Ibuka is the number one guy. They drafted him to be in the future number one guy. You know, that guy to me, for letting the next, at least, you know, like Nikki's saying, for his advantage, at least the next 4 or 5 weeks, you whatever call I get, if you're going to call me about it, then you got to come clean. You know, you got to give me at least two guys where the value is very high for both. Because look what this guy's doing in 3 weeks already.
Yeah.
And Baker ain't slowing down.
No.
I'll tell you right now.
Yeah, to your point, Greg, I think that's the only thing that stops him, Nikki, is if he can maintain that with a full, healthy receiving room, which he has a good chance of doing that. One, because both those guys are injury prone. So you never know week to week what's going to happen. Two, he's already proven he could do it. So why not? Why wouldn't they give him the chance to be more impactful? And we'll see. Mike, who you got in our matchup this week? Me versus Nikki here. Put him on the spot. Huh?
I'd like to see, like, if I'm recording here, can I go back into fantasy and look?
Yeah.
That won't mess up me.
No.
Okay. Let me take a quick look in it, because Rye, what are you, 2-1?
I'm 2-1. I just lost to RJ, who's number one point scorer in the league. So I am third in scoring, and so I caught a tough matchup last week. He put up 150 on me, and what are you gonna do, you know? But
and Nikki's 3-0,
top of the league.
We've had a very, very fortunate start to the season. We've had the easiest schedule so far, so
I'm looking at both of these teams, and to me, both of these teams have guys who have shown up every week so far in some capacity, and I have no worries about at all. The only guy I'm worried about is Kelsey and Njoku on both of your teams, the tight end spot. Like, what does that look like? Other than that, everybody is like a stud out there. Like, you know, Neighbors is questionable, but that dude is a beast. He's going to play. Justin Herbert's on fire. I like Nicky getting Chuba Hubbard and adding him to that team. And Trey Benson now, no James Conner. What's that look like? I feel a lot of confidence in him as well. Minnesota defense, we talked about them a little earlier. The defense could come up big for him as well. But when in Rome, you know, that he was on the championship squad last year and we didn't pick up his contract. And, you know, I know he's got to be a little sour about that, but he's showing up on your team. You got T-Mac, the rookie, showing out. You know, Quentin Johnson, who found, you know, life. And now Herbert. Yeah, Herbert throwing to Quentin Johnson. That kind of cancels each other out in your, you know, in your matchup here. So this is a good matchup, man. Wow. Now that I'm looking at it on paper, I'm going to go with the 3-0 team. I'm sorry for blood. You know, I love you, Rye, and I you know, I choose you in anything else in life.
Nope. No problem, Mike. Don't worry. You're talking about – this guy's talking about
but the
locker room team. Material. No worries. I'll put that clip right atop.
Maybe that's what I'm doing.
Yeah, I'll put that in a – in a loop. There we go. I'm going to get some of those Apple Vision Pro goggles. You know what I'm talking about? And I'm going to just play that clip on
you
a loop.
You just see it.
All week.
Yeah.
Don't worry about it. You're good.
That's it. The only weakness I see is Kelsey. I don't know what he does week to week. Maybe, you know, bumping into Andy Reid and getting fired up on the sideline. Gets him going a little bit. I don't know. But I didn't realize how many, you know, really big-time superstars Nicky got over there right now. And but you do too, man. I think it's going to be a close game.
Yeah.
It's going to be running backs versus the wide receivers, man. I've got the running backs. Nicky's got top-tier wide receivers. And it's going to be what the other – we know those guys are going to do their thing. It's going to be what our other positions do, really. So if my guy Danny Dimes, Indiana Jones, comes to play on the road, you know, I don't understand. This is what I don't get. I always got to have one complaint. What are the projections? What are we doing with the projections? They're first of all, Daniel Jones has been projected like 15 points every week, and his stat line is 29, 22, and then 16 last week. Okay, I'll give you that. Quentin Johnston is projected 10 points. Oh, wait, now 11. He's had 25, 16, and 16. So at what point do you start getting a little bit more boost in that project? Like, at what point? And again, projections aren't everything, but there are certain ones where I'm like, how are these guys projected where they are?
Yeah, I was also going to bring up the projections because I felt like there was a few guys on your roster that were definitely undervalued by the projection, for sure. Is my internet? Yeah, I'm probably cutting in and out, aren't I?
No, sorry about that.
Wi-Fi. Okay. But yeah, Daniel Jones and... who else was I looking at here? There was another one that I go, Rome Odunze. He's having a great season.
Yeah.
I don't know why he's not getting a little bit more love. But, yeah, I feel like between Kelsey and, I mean, I'm always due for one of my guys. One of them, they always – one guy finds a way to, like, not have the greatest of weeks. But, you know, it's definitely a committed effort, and everybody picks up whatever slack left behind.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we got some deep wide receivers here. We got some really deep wide receivers here with my three starters. I got very fortunate, very lucky in the draft that Puka Nacua fell to the second round the way he did, and Jaxon Smith-Njigba was still available into the third, the end of the third round that he was. We'll see what ends up happening here.
This is gonna be a battle, man. I mean, for those who play fantasy out there, we in the City Boys League have a little special rule. If you have a player that starts on your roster and they get less than 3 points, you have to send a video of yourself shouting out that player, but also taking a drink. You gotta take either a shot or do a shotgun, a chug, something. Send it into our group chat. It's great. Keeps the camaraderie, keeps the vibes going. You're looking at two teams right here who haven't had to do that yet. Haven't had to send a drink yet.
Yeah.
Very close. We've both been close, but
right. We
haven't had to do it yet. I think we're two of maybe three or four teams out of 12 that haven't had to yet. So it's going to be a battle. Nicky, appreciate you. Thanks for jumping on with us. We'll let you get back to work, do your thing. But this is going to be a regular thing, right? We'll have different City Boys guests on, and when I upload it, I'll throw it in the chat. Everyone can enjoy. So appreciate your time, Nicky. Thanks, brother.
Thanks, Nicky. Appreciate it, man. Really do. Hit me up about a trade later on this year.
Got you, man. Appreciate you guys. I'll talk to you soon.
All right, bro. All
right. Nice,
Let's
dude.
Let's go.
Nicky's a natural on the podcast.
Oh, yeah. That's why. Come on. Had to bring in a natural for the first time guest. Sneaky little thing. Me and him were having a conversation last week before the Phantom episode. We keep calling it the Phantom episode. And I was telling him that we were starting up the podcast again. He kind of was like, oh, yeah, what do you guys talk, like fantasy, sports, like just anything? So I told him, you know, it's football mainly, but we do a little bit of everything. We do a little bit of fantasy. He's like, oh, we should, you know, you should do something with the City Boys. I was like, I was actually, funny enough, before I brought it up to you, I was like, that's exactly what we're going to do. So I had to get him on there. He had a little bit of insight into that clip. But let's get into week four. Let's get into week four here.
Yeah.
Let me pull up the games, Mike. We got a Thursday night battle tomorrow. Let me get your thoughts real quick. Seattle at Arizona. FanDuel line, sportsbook line, DraftKings line, whatever sportsbook you use. I'll just call it the Vegas line. We don't have any sponsors over here, so the Vegas line.
Not yet. Open to it, though.
Not yet.
Open to it.
Give me a promo code. Come on now. Vegas line is 1.5. Cardinals, pretty much a pick 'em. But Seattle is slight road favorites. The over-under is 43.5. Give me your thoughts, Mike.
Yeah, to me, Seattle is the better team. Seattle, to me, is going to win. I think they win more than the line is giving them. I don't think it's a pick 'em. You said it's a pick 'em game, basically?
Pretty much, 1.5, yeah.
Yeah, I think Seattle's a better team, you know, by more than 1.5 to the Cardinals. They lost to San Francisco week one, tight game. Seattle, they beat Pittsburgh week two, 31-17, and then they beat New Orleans 44-13. So, I mean, they played a smorgasbord of teams there. Some not-so-good teams, some middle of the tier, some teams who could be better than what, you know, they are yet, you know. So I do like Seattle. I like that coach Mike McDonald. I talked about that last week on the Phantom episode. There it is again, another mention. I just think Seattle gets this win. I like their defense. I'm a huge fan of Kyler Murray. I do have Marvin Harrison going in fantasy in this game. I need Marvin Harrison to get going, man. He just hasn't been himself yet. Him and Kyler, the connection is not there. What are they going to look like without James Conner? We talked about it with Nicky, Trey Benson. Big game for you guys. You know, let's go with maybe this could be, I always say, like a Thursday game. Your guy blows up. You have two guys that blow up. It gives that other guy a little bit of a thought. Do I maybe, you know, take someone out, put someone else in? Do I need to get a jump start? Do I need to make a boom statement? Or does a guy put up a dud and it's like, okay, now I could play a little safer? I think there's a lot of fantasy implications on Thursday night games that you can either get into or not, you know, and it's exciting. So I got Seattle winning, beating the Cardinals.
Nice. Yeah, I'll just real quick touch on the fantasy aspect. Nicky's got Trey Benson, like you talked about. He's also got JSN. So those out there who have, you know, fantasy team and you get a guy like JSN going on a Thursday, he can give you a real boost. You know, get your projections up, make you feel real good going into the weekend. But it's always nice to start out. But the opposite of that, something bad happens to you on Thursday. You know, we don't want to, you know, wish injuries on anybody. But, you know, anything could happen. If something like that happens, something bad really sets you behind. And now you're like, dang. So it could go both ways. Thursday's a big starting point. So I like what you said, Mike.
Yeah.
I think Seattle's a good team. I think that defense is very solid. I think their special teams is sneaky good. They've got that rookie return man who's been electric. I think he's had already two return touchdowns, if I'm not mistaken. If not, it's definitely one in a big return. The Cardinals have gotten a little lucky. They've gotten a little unlucky. I don't really know about the Cardinals. You're right. Maserati Marv, I forgot I heard this somewhere. Maserati Marv turned into Mitsubishi Marv.
Yeah,
they were saying Mitsubishi Marv. I don't
know. Marvin, it's really hungry out here right now.
But yeah, he's looking like a shell of the player that people thought he would be coming into the league. He had a tough rookie season, not, you know, a lot of ups and downs. This year already a lot of ups and downs. So I think Seattle's the more consistent team in all three phases.
Yeah.
On the road element doesn't bother me at all. They're divisional opponents. They're used to playing in each other's stadiums. So given the Seahawks, I do agree. I think it'll be a bit bigger than that 1.5 point line. And I like that Seattle defense to hold them. So that's our Thursday. Yeah. We're both the same on the Seahawks. We nice. Move on to Sunday. Bright and early. Wiping the crust out of your eyes. Minnesota and the Pittsburgh Steelers in Ireland. You know what? I'll let you start. Go ahead, Mike. What do you see in
there? I just wanted to start with also. This is one of I got two kids, so like this is gonna be extremely difficult. We got a crazy busy Saturday. not so busy Sunday. But like this weekend is crazy. You know, the Ryder Cup starts.
Right.
Sunday, huge day. You know, especially in the morning. Like it's gonna be really hard. I don't know what I'm doing yet. I don't know which one I'm going to watch. I'm going to be honest. I'm going to be bouncing back and forth. I know I can catch up on football. To me, catching up on golf, you know, you could do that as well. But, like, for the Ryder Cup, I feel like you got to see it. Pittsburgh versus Minnesota. That's going to be a game early in the morning that I get up Sunday and say to myself, man, who is the Pittsburgh Steelers? They could tell me who they are by winning this game. This could be the Detroit versus the Raven game from last week. I know who Detroit is now, you know, moving forward. Do I know who Pittsburgh is? No, we talked about this. What is the identity? If they win and if they can beat Minnesota, going, you know, to Ireland and beating them there, I think would be a huge game. I just feel like the Carson Wentz aspect of Minnesota just isn't enough for them yet, and I think their defense can hold. I would love to see the Steelers run the rock early and then pass it, set up the pass. I'm going to pick the Steelers to win. I really want the Steelers to win. I really do. I like Minnesota. I think they're a good team. I like Kevin O'Connell, but I like Pittsburgh to win. And I like James Warren to have a good game.
Let's go. I got a lot to say about this game. And I think you nailed it, Mike. This is a statement game. This is, I've watched, you know, we both watch a lot of sports and we watch a lot of sports talk, you know, podcast hosts and, you know, Get Up and First Take and all that. And all I keep hearing is we're talking about the wrong Rodgers in this matchup. Let's talk about Isaiah Rodgers in the Minnesota Vikings defense because of what they did last week to the Bengals. So that everyone's making a segment, you know, making a, you know, the Rodgers versus Rodgers sort of segment. You know what I'm saying? Like, oh, Aaron Rodgers, he's the afterthought in this matchup. This is the perfect opportunity for the Steelers to go on an international stage and win this football game with their offense playing complementary to the defense. I don't want to see this, you know, I would love to see three turnovers for us, but I don't want to see us then give it right back. I don't want to see us then kick a field goal. We need to score touchdowns. We need to score multiple touchdowns. But I agree. We need to control the narrative of the game. We need to run the rock early. We need to stop the run with Jordan Mason. We need to keep Carson Wentz to who he is. He's a backup. He's a journeyman. He, you know, is a reliable veteran at this point. If your guy goes down, but there's a reason he's not starting the NFL anymore. We need to remind the Vikings and remind everyone why he's not starting in the NFL anymore. I mean, this defense needs to bring it. This defense needs to absolutely bring it because they have been an afterthought in this entire conversation. The Vikings defense versus Aaron Rodgers, where, you know, the Steelers defense looked a little bit better last week. That's this entire narrative. No, we need to bring this defense, the highest paid. I said this on the Phantom episode. There it is again. It's the highest paid defense in the league this year. We need to show up on an international stage. Give me the Steelers on the money line. They are 2.5 point, quote unquote, home. This is a home game for the Steelers. I guess in terms of, it's more so a home game than the Chargers were in Brazil. I'll say that. because Art Rooney, old man Art, was a ambassador to Ireland when he was alive.
Oh wow!
Yeah. So, okay. There's a lot of Steelers fans in Ireland, so that's why they chose Pittsburgh to go out there and play. So if we're calling it a home game, they're 2.5 point home underdogs, and you know, we spend a little extra time on our teams because we love our teams. So I'll move on from there. Giving the Steelers on the money line. Let's go.
Yeah, Minnesota beat Cincinnati. Come on, dude. What are we doing?
Yeah.
And yes, the defense looked good and good for Nicky, but this might be one of those early morning games. He's got two guys Thursday, and now he's got an early morning game Sunday. You might know about what this fantasy matchup looks like real quick on Sunday. Yep. By 1 o'clock, you say to yourself, okay, I know what I need to do, and I know what my team needs to do moving forward.
Get my guys rolling.
That's it.
So then Sunday, we move on to the 1 o'clock slate. Only 7 games in the 1 o'clock slate because of the whole international thing. We've got the Eagles at the Buccaneers. This is an interesting one to me. The Eagles are 3.5 point road favorites going into Tampa Bay without Mike Evans. I'll start on this one, Mike. I like Tampa Bay here, man. I think the Eagles should have lost last week. I mean, they blocked 2 field goals in a row, was that? Or 2 field goals in the game. It might not have been in a row. Whatever.
Maybe in the game, but you're trying to win the game.
Yeah. One of them was to win the game. They had to rely on a kind of a collapse by the Rams. And the Eagles look good. They can get it done in any way. That's good to hear. That's good to see if you're an Eagles fan. That's something to be positive about. But to me, 3.5 point road favorites after barely squeaking by at home is a little bit to me of an overreaction. I think it's closer to a pick 'em. I think it can go either way, but I like the Tampa Bay Buccaneers in that one.
Yeah, I do too, dude. Last time Tampa Bay Buccaneers played the Philadelphia Eagles was 9-29-24, and the record and the score was 33-16 Tampa.
Ooh,
that's a nice. The time before that was 115-20-24.
Okay,
Tampa 32, Eagles 9. So, and to me, the last this team, that was a playoff game. Yeah, yes,
I remember that one.
Yes. Yes, that was a playoff game. So to me, and I talked to my boy John about this. I'm going to get John to listen to this episode and let him know that too. And he would tell you this too. The Buccaneers have the Eagles number in the sense of they know how to play them. They play them tough. They've beaten them twice already. The Eagles can't figure them out. Is it Baker Mayfield? Because those two wins came with Baker Mayfield as the quarterback. Mm-hmm. I do think Mike Evans being out could hurt them a little bit. And no Chris Godwin. I'm sure he might have been in 1 or 2 of those games previously, if not both. Godwin might be back as well.
This week, though, Mike.
Godwin is back this weekend?
There's a chance. He's practicing.
Okay.
We'll see. We'll have to monitor that, but go ahead.
Right. I like the two-headed monster and Bucky Irving, who I think is the lead back, obviously, and White, you know, leading that backfield. I like Baker Mayfield's, you know, everything about Baker Mayfield. Always been a fan of this guy from the jump when he got drafted in Cleveland and into college as well. He's a winner. He's a dog. Abuka is a superstar. So we're going to see how that goes. Nicky implications again. This is a good thing that we had him on. This is like making a lot of records. I like Tampa, man. I just think they got the Eagles' number. I think the Eagles are good, but I think the Eagles are going to have to, and Jalen Hurts, they can't have that first half that they had last week. Mm-hmm. Again, their offense needs to pick it up. They got A.J. Brown more involved. They need to get Barkley more involved in this game if they want to win this. Set that tone at the run, and then it could open things up. Let's really see what Tampa Bay's defense looks like in that case then. But give me Tampa, Raymond James Stadium. Let's go, Bucks.
I love it. It's going to be another one of those where all three on the same side again, just like the Phantom. Right,
here we go. It'll happen.
This next game, I don't think there's much to talk about here, Mike. The Saints visiting the Bills. The Bills are 16-point home favorites at this point. What do you got to say about this one? I mean, give me the Bills.
No, I just think, yeah, right. Yeah, I'm gonna spend the time of shouting my dad out, shouting my cousin Rudy out, shouting Haley out, the teacher in the school that works with me, all Buffalo Bills fans, all deserving of a 3-0 start. They are the best team in the AFC. Josh Allen is the best quarterback in the NFL. This would maybe people would say it's a trap game. This cannot be classified as a trap game because this team is so much better, Buffalo, than New Orleans. Who does Buffalo have coming up after this? They got New England. That's a tough game coming up, divisional game. So I think they take this game serious. I think that's how they run their team. It's week by week with them. I love Josh Allen. You know, have another big game. Let's go Bills.
Yeah. Shout out Mike Senior. Shout out Big Mike. Shout out T Oakley over here in Pittsburgh.
Oh, okay.
He's a Bills all right. fan. Big Bills fan. I mean, I'm sure he's going to be all over this game. He doesn't strike me as someone who is going to want the -16.5. But it's a little much. I mean, it's a little much for anybody, but I wouldn't be surprised if they win this game by 40. So,
true.
Yeah, Bills by a mil.
I like it.
Next game, another crazy one. Browns at the Detroit Lions. Browns coming off that big upset against Packers at home. Now go on the road to face another NFC North opponent in the Lions. What you got in that one?
Is Joe Flacco is the quarterback still, right, of the Browns? No change has been made?
Yeah, still Joe Flacco.
Okay. Their defense is real good, man. The Browns defense just, like, stifled that Green Bay team who was supposed to be world beaters. I love after the game is like, you know, Micah Parsons and those guys talking like they honestly thought they were going to go undefeated. Is that what they thought?
I don't know.
And then
I heard them saying that.
Dog, come on. I mean, you're a good team. You played two home games and you played, you know, whatever, who you played. The Browns humbled them, man, real quick. The Browns defense is solid, dude. It's a hard game to pick for some weird reason. Only because I think Detroit is good. I think Detroit wins. Let's say that. I think Detroit wins. They're at home. But Cleveland's defense could make a team look who's really good look bad, like we've seen in Green Bay. Because Green Bay is good, you know, but they really humble them. Do they humble Detroit? And do they get to Goff? You know, do they slow down the run game? Because the run game opened up St. Brown. They got to use J-Mo a little bit more, in my opinion, in Detroit. If they really want to get going and make those big boom plays down the field, I think that could open it up. But that secondary with Delpit and Ward and those guys in Cleveland and that pass rush, man, they are tough. But I'll go with Detroit.
Yeah, give me the Lions. I think that game last week for the Packers was something we were just talking about with the Bills. It was a letdown game. They looking ahead to the Cowboys in prime time. Micah, you know, that whole narrative. To me, that's how I see it. Pair that with the Browns having probably a top two, top three defense in the league, which is scary. That they should be 2-1. I mean, they're a missed field goal away from being 2-1. So that being said, I think it's a low-scoring game. I think the Lions do what they have to do to get it done. They're fully aware that the Browns' defense is what they are. They're going to come with a bag of tricks like they always do. They're going to go for it on fourth down. They're going to run the rock. It'll be a low-scoring game. Give me the Lions in that one as well. We've got another divisional matchup, Mike. And this one's interesting to me because what is up with Houston? So we've got the Titans at the Texans. The Texans are 7.5-point favorites. They are at home. The Titans haven't looked great, still figuring it out. Rookie Cam Ward, but the Texans have looked awful. 7.5-point favorites in a divisional matchup? What's that all about?
Well, they played the Rams week one. I think the Rams are a good team. They played Tampa in week two. I know Tampa is a good team. And the game against the Rams was 14-9. Tampa was 20-19. So really close game. Then they lost to Jacksonville. To me, that was like, I think they're similar teams, Jacksonville and Houston. They got a really good offense. They got weapons. I think Houston's defense and their pass rushes, we talked about that on the Phantom episode, how good those two guys are. And are they going to show up? Like, are they going to play Houston? You know, like the Houston from 2 years ago, which I think that potential is still there. Nico Collins is a little banged up coming into this game. Is it the receiving core? Do they just not have those guys of Diggs and Tank anymore? No Joe Mixon. You know, the offensive line, I think, is just not where it needs to be for Houston. So I think there's so many factors in that game. You picked Tennessee last week, right, to beat the Colts?
No.
Well, we talked about that, right? We talked about how good Tennessee could be, but they, what, like, they haven't showed it yet either. There's like a little heat on Tennessee's head coach too, yeah, which I do not think fire that guy right now after making the Cam Ward pick. You got to give Cam Ward stability and make sure that that coaching staff is confident so they can build with him. I like Tennessee to get their first win. I like Cam Ward to get his first NFL win. Ooh. Going to Houston, playing that dome, you know, figure out that pass rush, spread the ball around, play tough-nosed defense. I know they lost three in a row, but once again, they played Denver, Tennessee, they played the Rams, and they played the Colts, dude. Those are three hard games, hard teams to play. You know, like we talked about, Indiana Jones ain't no joke over there. Those guys ain't playing games.
He's no joke.
Rams are good. Denver's a better team than their record is showing, too. They're going to get life at some point. I got Tennessee. I got the Ward.
Oh, all right. I think you nailed it with the Texans, Mike. I think it's a combination of they've abandoned their line. They let some big names go, Tunsil and others. Joe Mixon isn't healthy. Their weapons aren't healthy. You combo that all with their defense, and I've seen this before being a Steelers fan, their defense is going to end up getting a little tired if their offense can't make things happen. So I don't hate that Titans pick. I'm going to go Texans at home to get back on the right track.
Okay.
But I think the Titans keep it close. I think that 7.5 point, I don't think they should be more than a touchdown favorite over anybody right now, Texans. So if we're talking sports, if we're talking just straight up win, give me the Texans. If we're talking the Vegas line, give me the Titans to cover. So I'm going to go Texans in that one just straight up. Our next game, Mike, is going to be another interesting one. Chargers at the Giants. New look, Jackson Dart. Mm. I'll start with this one with the Chargers because that's been my fake bandwagon team so far. And I went on a little rant in the Phantom episode. But anyone who will listen to me, I'll tell them about it sucks to have them in the AFC because I think they're really good. I think they're legit. And the fact that Harbaugh is letting Herbert throw the rock, he is, they know they can run the football. I don't think they're completely abandoning their philosophy of established run. I think they know how good Justin Herbert is in his arm talent and the weapons they have at receiver and just how he can move and spread and get in a rhythm. Week one against the Chiefs, I think we really saw him get in that sort of flow state of just, he's just getting up to the line, playing backyard ball at that point. Just go out there and run, I'll find you. Yeah. Oh, flinging it in there. Made some big plays against Denver. Who'd they play week two? It's escaping me, but.
I'll get it. Vegas.
Yeah, I mean, just two divisional, or three straight divisional matchups for them. So
yeah,
they go on the road against a Giants team that's reeling, a Giants team that now, you know, maybe have a spark of life with Jackson Dart. We don't know what it looks like yet. We'll see. But, I mean, this 6.5 point line, I don't know what that's all about. I think this should be closer to one of those other ones, the 9.5, 10. I think there's just a little bit of, you know, Chargers coming across the country. I throw all that out. These are professionals. They're used to it by now. Give me the Chargers by a whole lot.
I agree. I don't think we have to waste too much time on this either. I like the Chargers. I know they're going to MetLife. They're going to be on the road. The Giants' pass rush has shown spurts here and there of being really good. Mm-hmm. But they've also, the defense together, got to play as a unit. So on the back end is giving up shots down the field. You know, that's going to hurt that guys, whether they get the push or not. I like Los Angeles. I think Herbert shows out, man. I agree. I don't think that line gives enough justice to this game. I do like Jackson Dart coming in and giving the Giants a little spark. I said by week four, Russell Wilson was going to be gone, and it's there. I was telling Giant fans the whole time, and this kid's got to get in. This kid's got to get his licks. He could run, he could throw, he can give him spark. The coach and the GM's job is on the line. You can't be taking L's like this left and right and not having the kid back there giving him a shot and seeing what's going on before you tap Jameson, you know, because is that the next move for them? I don't The Giants are in rough shape, man. Give me the Chargers and give me them big.
All right, let's go. Stinky game next, bro. A stinky game. The Commanders at the Falcons. Not sure. Is Jaden Daniels going to be back for this one? I'm seeing a lot of day-to-day uncertainty.
Yeah.
He won't come out and say one way or another, but judging on this line, he won't be, if we're judging on this line, because it's a pick'em. And I think the Commanders with Jaden Daniels are a far superior team, even on the road at the Falcons. So that hinges on that for me. And Mariota didn't look too bad last week, but that was at home.
That's
a Raiders team who couldn't stop a nosebleed if they had to. If Jaden Daniels plays, Commanders. If not, I'm gonna back the Falcons to get back on track here at home. And
okay.
So we're gonna judge with the information we have now, which is doesn't look like he's gonna play. Give me the Falcons.
Okay, I like that. I'm gonna go Commanders, whether Jaden Daniels plays or not. I do think it's going to be like a high-scoring game, though. I think both teams are going to score. Mariota going back to a team that he's played for in the Falcons. He did play really good. I think he is familiar with that team and what he can do. If Jaden Daniels does play, that's just an advantage even more for me. But he's saying it's up to the doctors. It's not his decision from all the stuff I'm hearing and reading as well. So I think it's probably a game time decision for him, but at least for them in house, I feel like they already know what they're going to do. Mm-hmm. They're just making the media think the up in the air decision. I think Mariota, I think they give him one more week. Jaden Daniels, let Mariota go again. He looked good. I like the Commanders, man, to win this game.
All right. The Panthers are at the Patriots. Panthers coming off that 30-point trouncing of the Falcons. In a game where Bryce Young didn't look too impressive. I mean, they won 30-0, and he kind of looked mediocre to me. The fantasy implications were not too great. There wasn't much to write home about, and then they sat their starters. So, I don't know. It was a weird kind of game. Now they go up to New England, who is trying to bounce back after that tough game with Pittsburgh. Bryce Young stinks on the road, man. He really does. And
yeah,
I always hate 5.5 point lines. So the Patriots are 5.5 point favorites. It's really weird to me. I hate it because why don't they just give you the touchdown line? You know, if they're confident, 6.5 point, what is that 5.5 points? A little stinky to me. Give me the Panthers. Give me the Panthers. I really don't know why.
Hey, you go for it. Yeah. Who knows? Who knows what happens? Who are the Patriots?
Well,
I thought I knew who the Patriots were.
Exactly. So that's where I was going with this pretty much is the Patriots are week by week a different team.
Yeah.
It feels like they need a little bit more consistency to me. They just had 5 turnovers. If they got a fumbling mm-hmm. problem, that's bad. If Drake May has an interception problem, which he only threw one, but he should have had 2. But 4 fumbles? Whoa.
Yeah, dude.
You gotta can't protect beat anybody like that.
No.
So give me the Panthers. No. What do you think?
I'm going to go to Patriots. Mm-hmm. They lost to Vegas. They beat Miami, and they lose to Pittsburgh. I think they're better than what their record shows. I think that Mike Vrabel gets a really good week of practice with them. A lot of job security. I think you're going to be out there seeing them. Like, remember when Tiki Barber used to fumble the ball a lot? You would see him the next game, like, hold on to that thing for his life.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's how all these Patriot players are going to be holding the ball. Bill Belichick used to fumble the ball, and Bill Belichick was the coach. He'd take you out for that game, and who knows what you're going to do from that move, you know, next week forward. What is Vrabel going to do? How's he going to approach it? Mm-hmm. I think he has a different approach. I think they have a good week of practice. They beat Carolina because they got Buffalo next week, so they need this win.
Yep.
Give me. I got the Patriots.
All right. Colts go across the states to L.A. to play the Rams. Colts at the Rams. The Rams are 3.5-point home favorites. What you got in this blockbuster matchup?
Good game, man.
Yeah.
Really good game, and 4 o'clock. I like that too. Stafford, I was an option for me after trading Kyler Murray in the City Boys League to go with, but I didn't because they were playing the Colts defense, and the Colts, this whole team is sneaky. You know, every week, I don't know what those guys are going to do with, you know, they just show up. You know, I feel like, okay, it's going to catch up to them. It's going to catch up to them. It hasn't. They're a good team. So I didn't want to pick Matthew Stafford in fantasy going forward. I do like them in this game. I do think the Colts come back to earth for a quick second. I think Stafford and Puka Nacua start linking up big. I think they really get that run game going a little bit more with Williams. They got him involved in last week more than they needed to. Get him rhythm touches, you know, like Blake Corum. He's a guy I picked up in fantasy, even spent $5 on him. Then I had to drop him because, you know, going back to the Commanders game, Bill now is questionable, so I had to pick up Bill's backup. So I'm, like, wasting $5 or whatever. But I had Blake Corum because a lot of, you know, the talk was if Williams goes down, they already started liking Blake and giving him more touches than they have. Let Williams, though, get in the groove. Don't mess up that groove. I like that defense a lot. I like the Rams defense, man. I like they're young. I've said it before. I think they make plays. They slow Daniel Jones down a little bit. Give me the Rams.
Yeah, that's well said, Mike. I'm going to go with the Rams as well. I don't think that it's necessarily a Colts comeback, you know, like fall from grace sort of game. I think it's a shootout. And I think that if I'm going to have to go Stafford versus Daniel Jones, even with how good he's been playing, I'll take Stafford in the shootout. 7 times out of 10, you know.
Yeah.
So give me the Rams in a high scoring one. I think that's going to be well over 50 points at home. But both teams look real solid. Rams tough heartbreak last week. I think they bounce back at home. Jags also make the trip cross country to San Francisco. They play the 49ers, another 3.5-point line. 49ers, 3.5-point home favorites. They brought a lot of talk about whether or not Brock Purdy can play this week. I think he does go this week. He was close last week. If that's the case, I like the Niners. McCaffrey's out there doing it by himself, bro. He touches the ball every play. And if he doesn't touch the ball because it was overthrown in a check down or, you know, something else happened, but they're looking for him every play.
Yeah.
I hate that.
Yeah.
I hate that if I have McCaffrey in fantasy, which I do in the family league, but because
I got him in a league.
It's unsustainable.
It's unsustainable. Yeah.
You're asking for disaster with that. So but that being said, with Brock Purdy back, I think he gets his weapons going. I haven't taken a look at the Juwan Jennings injury, but I think the Jaguars making that trip across to play the 49ers at home, that's a tough environment. No Jaguars fans out there. Give me the Niners at home.
Yeah, I like the Niners at home too. Ricky Pearsall has a sore knee, from what they're saying, but he's been playing really well for them. I like his potential, Rick, man. Dude has a crazy story. If Brock Purdy is back, I think that helps the team. Mm-hmm. I think they're catching a little bit of, you know, they San Francisco, I don't know. Coming into the season, I'm like, what the? This team is like got dismantled. They spent all this money. Nick Bosa's out for the year. Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh, dude. What, you know, they win. They beat Seattle. They beat New Orleans. They beat Arizona. Now, Arizona and New Orleans, to me, are like flake of teams. They could be beat every. I think Seattle's a good team. That was a close game. Week one also. But yeah, I like the Niners, man. They're 3-0. They go 4-0, which is crazy to me. Crazy. Shout out to my boy Chris Brown. He's gonna be loving this, man. Big field goal. That was one of those games that they should have lost, and Moody hit that big field goal to win. Yeah, I'll ride with the Niners too.
All right. Ravens, this one's crazy to me. Ravens at the Kansas City Chiefs. One of these teams is going to be 1-3. Chiefs are 2.5-point home dogs. 2.5 points. What did you see in this, Mike?
Ravens. When's the last time? See that stat. When's the last time the Chiefs were underdogs in Arrowhead?
Right. I mean, it's got to be a long time.
Yeah, dude. The Ravens need to win this game. They need to win this game, the Ravens. I think we know who the Chiefs are. The Chiefs are a, you know, a depleted team. Let's say that as of right now. They need Worthy back. Maybe he plays. They need Rashid Rice back. He's come back. He comes back soon. They need to develop a run game. I don't think it's – I think if Kansas City loses this game, they still haven't got their team together yet to really judge who they are. Even though it's week four yet, that's the first, you know, quarter of the season. But Baltimore needs to win this game, man. Baltimore needs to win this game big time. They don't got to blow them out. They don't got to do anything crazy to me. They need to establish the run. They need to commit to the run. Lamar can't be throwing the ball as many times as he has been. It's just not the way to win the game. Give the ball to Derrick Henry. Do they get the defensive guys back, the Ravens? I don't know yet. They're saying they still are on the mend. They don't know if they're going to exactly get them back. But, dude, they got to win this game because then they got Houston coming up. So it could be a back-to-back, you know, wins for them. That would be really nice. The Ravens' schedule lightens up here. I think they got Kansas City. Then they got Houston. That should be a win. They got the Rams. That can go either way. But then they got Chicago and Miami. Like, dude, they could make a little run here, the Ravens, and get right back on track. Mm-hmm. This is the game to get on track. Give the ball to Derrick Henry. He will get you on the track like a freight train that he is. So, Ravens, baby.
Yeah, Mike, I don't know. Hold up. Slow it down. What did we just say? When's the last time the Chiefs were underdogs at Arrowhead? They just find ways, man. They find ways no matter who's out there. And the Ravens look like they're searching at the moment. They really do. Like you made those mentions about their health on the defensive end. Their scheme seems to be all out of whack. They're not establishing the run the way that they used to. They're throwing a God knows who. They're trying to force touchdowns to DeAndre Hopkins. I think the Chiefs come out and win this game. I think it's a battle. It's a slugfest, if you will. It's going to be ugly, but I think the Chiefs find a way to win this game late. It's going to be one of those not so much of a comeback like the Bills did to the Ravens on opening week, but I think it's going to be one of those games where Ravens come out, look good, and then they fall apart, and the Chiefs find a way to get back into it. Give me the Chiefs in that one.
I could see that. I think from what my quick statistician has told me, also known as Google, and I think I'm right. Hopefully I'm right. Week six of 2022, they were 2.5-point underdogs at home against Buffalo.
And what was the final score of that game?
The final score of that game was 24-20. Bills beat the Chiefs 24-20.
Okay. All right.
crazy. And I think Mahomes has only been underdog like twice since he's been like the full-time starter, something crazy. So this is a crazy this game can go any way. I agree with you. This is another one of those. I'm going to be watching this game too. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. My boy Scotty Sheff being off of something crazy, but
and that's a good 4 o'clock slate. That's a good 4 o'clock slate.
Yeah.
The last game of the 4 o'clock slate is the Bears at the Raiders. Not as good of a game, but this is a strange one. Raiders are 1.5 point favorites. I mean, all this talk about the Bears, they're back. Ben Johnson's got it clicking. Finally, this is what we were hoping for. You know, this is the talk coming from the Bears camp. They go to the Raiders and they're underdogs. What do you got in this one?
I got the Raiders. I'm playing Geno Smith in fantasy. I like what Geno did last week. I think the Bears defense can be scored on. The Cowboys just couldn't. They lost CD early. So they, you know, George Pickens had a good game. I think they can get those guys. Trey Tucker for the Raiders. Solid. Kobe Myers is good. I hope Brock Bowers is playing. I think he's healthy, right? But I think Genty gets going. Get Genty going. Come on now. Let's get that moving. Give me the Raiders, man. The Raiders are, what, 1-2? I think they get this win.
Okay. All right. I like Silver. I'm going to stick with the Bears. I'm going to buy in a little bit on the offense. I just went and saw what Mariota did to the Raiders defense. And, I mean, if they made Mariota look good, I mean, I'm assuming they can make Caleb Williams look good too. So they got weapons. I think they're starting to figure out the scheme, who fits where. I'd like to see them stop using DJ Moore as a running back. I don't know what the heck that is. I don't like that. Mm-hmm. I didn't like when the Cowboys are doing it with CeeDee Lamb. Why are people doing that now? Why are they putting their star wide receivers in the backfield and then turning around and handing it off to them? I mean, it's what got CeeDee hurt. What was that? Anyway, that's not who we're talking about right now, but give me the Bears, even with all that nonsense going on, give me the Bears on the road, get the W in a pretty much a pick'em game as well. We move on to Sunday Night Football. Speaking of, Green Bay Packers at the Dallas Cowboys. The Cowboys are touchdown underdogs right now at home. Oh boy, I'll go first, Mike. I'll let you get the final word on your Cowboys, but you know, you already know the hype is being built up. Micah Parsons returns. Everyone, you know, both teams have had this circled on their schedule. They know what's up. This matchup, Packers coming off an embarrassing loss in Cleveland. Jerry Jones going anyone who listens radio show saying this is a big, meaningful game. Oh, it means so much to win this game. Cowboys got to figure it out, man. Cowboys got to figure out that defense. I think Jordan Love blows the roof off the defense. I think this is a big bounce back for the Packers after that loss. I think they're angry. I'm sorry, Mike. I hate to do it. Give me the Packers in a big way.
Yeah, I'm taking the Packers too. It would be silly to pick the Cowboys. And, you know, a couple of things there, right? Jerry Jones is right. This would be a huge game, because we traded Micah Parsons and it would make him look a little bit better, take a little more heat off him. But even if we win the game, unless we win it like crazy, this our defense is like somebody else. And I like the offense, man. I love Dak. Having CD go down does hurt a lot. And you are absolutely right to put him in the backfield with no other, you know, Javonte Williams not there, just CD by himself. They know what you're going to run, and you're putting him in a bad position already. The defense is like, come on, are you kidding me? This is perfect. We know exactly what's going on here. So terrible by Shadi to call that offensive play. But, you know, yes. Okay, so there's those two aspects. I'm really close to giving up on the Cowboys this year. It just, you're not making any changes. The same thing that happened to you in the Giants game happened to you in the Bears game. Huge blown assignments in the secondary. Nobody knows what they're doing. It looks terrible. It looks like a bunch of little kids out there, and little kids can make more adjustments, I feel like, than these NFL players. What do we do? We get Jadeveon Clowney, I think, playing this game. Does he make a difference? I don't know. Maybe. We'll see. I would love to win the game just to get a big win. That would be great to beat the Packers. But also at the same, and then I think they play the Jets after that, the Cowboys, mm-hmm. which is crazy. Jets after that. So maybe we can win back-to-back games and then Carolina. So maybe this, you know, if we can beat Green Bay, beat the Jets, beat Carolina, and then we play the Commanders, I mean, let's go. Three wins in a row would be great. I would, my attitude would turn around a little bit, but I'm just not looking forward to anything about the Cowboys. I'll definitely way rather watch the Ryder Cup than by 1,000 than watch this game Sunday night. Obviously, I'm going to tune into it because they're going to be wrapped up at that point. But give me the Packers, man. Sorry, Cowboys. But, like, and one quick thing, because we're getting a little late in the episode, too. Like, Jerry Jones, maybe you're going to hear this. Maybe you're going to tune into Respect the Chat, man. You should. But here's the thing. You're taking advantage of the fans, man. It's not right. I like what you did with the Pickens pickup. I really do. You trade Parsons, fine. You know, for whatever reason it was, hopefully in the long run this pays off for us. But what are we doing with the way we're running? If you're an owner, step in now, fire Eberflus. He's got to go. And I don't care who you're putting in there. Figure it out. I don't care who it is. A changeup would help us. I don't know. I just feel like we're being taken advantage as Cowboy fans. It's just a lot of disappointment for a lot of years with, you know, us just still to be out there and rooting for this team and taking heat. I'm taking heat every week, Jerry Jones, for these losses and everything, man. All of us as fans are, man. Come on, we want to enjoy a game. We want to have a team that has a backbone to them. You know, certainly a lot of those guys in this team don't deserve this, the way that this is going down. So, yeah, Packers.
Oof. Oh man, that's a tough one. I mean, that guy Eberflus stinks, bro. How does that guy have a job? He's stank everywhere he's been.
Yeah, and hurts me in fantasy with CD going down. I mean, I pulled the trigger on him, my third pick. He killed it week one. Yeah. He killed it week two, week three against the Bears, dude. And my fantasy team had AJ Brown go off. You know, and now I'm like, oh, here goes CeeDee Lamb's going to go off. It's on, dude. I'm going to get my first win. These two guys together, this two-headed monster is going to be crazy. Down, dude. Wow. He ain't coming back.
Stupid play in him in the backfield. What are we doing? Oh, my gosh. All right, let's finish up these games, Mike. We'll fly through these next two. I mean, what are we doing with the double Monday night games? What is going on, Mike? What is going on?
This is what I'm saying. You made a big point. You are a big supporter of the NFL, but you had some points. Like, there's just some things that are being done here to the fans that I do not like.
Yeah.
And it's one of them again. The two-headed monster on Monday.
Yeah. I don't even want to. I watch half the game on Monday because it starts so dang late that you can't you can't ever watch a full Monday night game ever. If with a full-time job. Then you throw two of them at me. I mean, one of them was disrespectful. The 10 p.m. start is disrespectful. But still,
yeah.
Double Monday night games. Anyway, the first one is the Jets at the Dolphins. I mean, does Justin Fields play? Is he cleared of protocol? It looks like the line is treating it like he's going to play with that 2.5. I mean, Tyrod Taylor didn't look terrible. You know, he can move them up and down the field. But I think that Miami offense is just a little too much for the Jets. Give me Miami at home.
I like Miami at home, too. These games are separated by 1 hour, 7:15, 8:15, by the way.
Ridiculous.
Daily. Well, yeah.
Well, this next one you don't even got to watch, Mike. Don't worry about it. It's the Bengals at the Broncos. I mean, the Broncos are 7.5-point home favorites. Broncos haven't looked too good. They bounced back a little bit last week against the Chargers, showed a little bit of life, gave it right back. This Bengals team is terrible. I mean, their defense has been so bad for so long, and their offense is solely reliant on Joe Burrow going in there and getting the ball to his playmakers. Chase, T. Higgins, Chase Brown out the backfield. You got to respect that. So, okay, maybe you don't send the house at him. He's too smart. He's too good. He's too quick. He'll beat you. He's got too many weapons. He goes down. Jake Browning's not that guy. You have a terrible line.
No.
You can't run the football because you can't throw the football. And you can't throw the football because you can't run the football. So you can't do anything. This Broncos team, you just faced the Minnesota Vikings, whose defense looks elite. That Broncos team defense is elite. Yeah, there's not much else to say about this game. It's the Broncos by a million.
Yeah, I like the Broncos to win. I picked the Broncos to like win the division, and I just think penalties are killing them. You know, from you know what I read is like they, you know, they have 8 penalties against the Colts. They had 10 penalties against the Chargers. Yeah, you're not going to win. About the Patriots, you know, it's like if you're going to give up those fumbles, the Steelers are going to beat you. Yeah, same here. You're going to be penalized. You get that many times, you're going to lose a game. And they got to get Cortland Sutton down the field. They got to get these guys involved a little bit more. Who's the running back over there, too? Is it Dobbins? Is it Harvey? Pick one. Get a guy a little bit of a rhythm. And Bo Nix got to get more consistent. Bo Nix got to, you know, go back to the way he finished those last 6 games last year, whatever it was when he went on that run. I definitely do like them, though. I like Denver. Cincinnati's in shambles. I don't know what they're going to do. I think they got to make a trade quick for a quarterback, try to spark that team, because I think they got a lot of offensive firepower. The defense isn't as bad as it's been in the past, but still, like, they are in trouble on offense. So, yes, I got Denver.
How the heck is that team 2-1? Week one was a blessing that kicker that Schmidt, but their new kicker, the Browns new kicker, misses the game winner. This is with a healthy Joe Burrow. Joe Burrow goes down week two. Browning has like 3 picks and they still win somehow. And then last week, just an embarrassment. So I don't know. It's interesting to see where they go from here. They're gonna have to figure that out, but. That's week 4, Mike. That's week 4. And that's our first real, not the Phantom, real episode back. Respect the chat, the City Boys segment. We're back. Football's back. We'll be coming at you weekly. Probably going to try and shave down some of this episode time, but you know we like to get together and speak a little too much. And, first episode back. We had to.
Yes, sir, man. We're going to try to keep it within an hour for you guys or so. We do go on our rants every now and then, but we're really passionate about sports and having guests on, too. Man, we want to take our time with guests who give our time, you know, their time to us. So we appreciate everybody. We're going to get Rich and Frankie involved. We're going to get the City Boys involved. We're buzzing on every avenue that we could. But me and Ryan are going to be as consistent as we can, man. We're going to try to record every Wednesday, get it out, get it to you guys before the Thursday game. Respect the chat, man. We're back.
We're back.
Peace.
Peace.